So how do you explain On Ice's success? I mean, that really endeared, I think, the organization to the community here, but certainly the community benefited from the profile and the success of the team.
Well, I think that a big part of that was that when you're living year to year trying to stay in business, it's hard to devise a plan that, you know, you're going to be able to grow each year. You're in survival mode, and we were in survival mode. You know, I often tell people, had it not been for Tal Jandali and CIBC Bank, you know, we would have had a hard time surviving because, you know, we would literally live year to year and get a line to survive the start of the next year kind of thing. And that was just the nature of the business. And we were a group of teams that were all in the same boat at that time. Once we got the new building, it allowed us to, you know, obviously generate more revenue, but it also allowed us to look at the bigger picture here and be able to hire enough people in the hockey operations side to free up our head scout, Lauren Fry, to spend more time on the road scouting and things like that. And it also allowed us to hire real good people in the hockey operations sites, coaching-wise. And I think that had an awful lot to do. And it goes back to, you know, Mark Hapscheid, when I hired him. You know, we needed a real culture shock here. We'd had, when you're putting teams together piecemeal all the time, trying to be competitive enough to get an extended run in the playoffs to make, you know, to make ends meet. Once we got him here, the first year was a challenge. We had to go through, you know, almost culling out the guys that weren't going to buy into the plan and implementing the culture that was established, and then sticking with it was the challenge. And if you didn't like it, you know, you were moved to another team. And once we got that in place, then things started to roll, and then it just kind of kept going ever since then. But we've had dips, and we're in a bit of a dip right now where we needed to readjust the culture here. The culture had slipped, and I think that's certainly on me, and it's probably on you know, some of the people that were here and are still here had lost our way in, you know, why we had success on the ice. And I think that's coming back. We've refocused on that. But we got spoiled when we had the year here with Leon and those guys, Draisaitl, you know, Morrissey. That was an all-star team. And I think that we all kind of fell into a bit of a false sense of security that was just going to keep happening every year. And it doesn't work. When you win, you don't pick early, and the best players are early. Yeah. So you have to make hay with what you have. And that's why your coaching staff's so important. They have to make these players better. And by and large, our coaches have done a real good job of that over the years.
Was Mark on the Blades roster when you were there?
I was involved. Was involved there, and I was involved in trading Mark. We traded him to the Kamloops Oilers for Gary.
I'll have to research that. 170 points.
Oh, he was a great player. He went there when Gretzky, you know, was getting his engine running. Yeah. And Mark came out of there he was a tremendously talented player. And we moved him for Gary Stewart to Kamloops. And the Oilers owned Kamloops at that time. So, but Mark was a very talented player.
Well, he was even good in midget. Of current Legionnaires, I think.
Yeah.
I think it was, but that, yeah, I think that one of Hampshire's best years, that was the year that the Blaze ran into Ken Reggett. Dale Lambert got KO'd and wanted to run him. Give me one more shift and we'll run him, but yeah.
We had some great teams there, you know, and boy, when you go back and you think of, you know, Wendell Clark, Joey Kocher, Dave Brown, Daryl Stanley, the Lamberts, you know what, we had some teams that should have won.
Dave Lewis, even beyond.
Those guys were earlier.
Yeah,
earlier. Dave was before my time even there. But I used to go watch those guys play.
When Medicine Hat came in, and Lysiak and McDonald.
Tom Lysiak.
Stung us.
Yep.
You know, that was.
Those were great years.
Yeah, and fun to be in that building. And that's where the love of junior hockey sort of resonates.
For me,
to go back to that, I'm thankful I can still remember that stuff.
Well, you know what? It's interesting. We're all still kicking after all the smoke we breathed, Stan. Being in that rink and the asbestos hanging on the roof.
Hilarious, yeah. Yes. My uncle used to drive the Zamboni, Dave Hiltz. He's a friend.
Really?
My mom's brother.
I know who he is, yeah.
Davey passed last June. God love him. He's a wonderful guy.
Yeah.
I think he boarded Leroy Gorski, I think. And
that's Dave, another guy I would have mentioned there. Leroy was one of my favorite players.
Yeah.
Lost him way too early.
No kidding, yeah. Ed Chenault, it's another, guy with Saskatoon roots.
He would probably be the most influential guy for me in my career in junior hockey. We lost him way too early. He was really the reason we got our franchise, because nobody else in the league had a clue who we were.
The Tacoma franchise.
Yeah. Right. He drove the bus to get that through and get the Board of Governors and, establish the price that we paid to get the franchise. And
so some trust there, mutual.
Yeah, he was just becoming the president of the league when I started playing. He was a Saskatoon guy, and he was a very close friend of mine, and somebody who we talked regularly, and right up to his passing, we stayed in touch as best we could. I'll never forget. I was on my way to see him probably 2 days before he passed, and we had a terrible, terrible snowstorm in Calgary and nothing was landing, so I didn't get to go. I told him I was coming, and that's probably one of the disappointments, and yet I'll never forget. His funeral was great. Bill Hay was the did the eulogy, and he closed it by saying, Eddie, he said, you like this today. We got a pretty good crowd here. So it was a sad day, but he had suffered a bit, and he's moved on to a better spot in his place probably.
After Ed's passing, is there a timeline close by there where you became a little more involved with, as chairman of the board? Or
well, I became...
Somebody had to kind of take that role.
Chairman. I think I replaced Rick Brodsky as chairman. And then when Ed was running Kootenay, it was me, went and said, you should be the chairman. You've had all the experience. So he did it for a few years. And then when he wasn't well, then I was put back in or elected back in. And then I've been there ever since. And it was, I was involved when we hired Dev DeLay to take over as commissioner. And then I was also had the job of letting him go, which wasn't any fun at all. And then I was very involved in the hiring of Ron Robison, who's still here today. And, I was involved, and obviously we formed a committee, and we went through the process of, we interviewed some real interesting people. We interviewed Bill Baker. We had another television executive there that we had, I'm trying to think who he was. But anyways, we had an interesting group of characters, not characters, but very good candidates. But Ron brought a very strong hockey side. He came from Hockey Canada, really, in a lot of ways. He was, I think, had his own company going by then. But he had been involved in, right from the start of the Russia-Canada series, he'd been one of the main guys on the ground. So he brought a real marketing side to it, which is what we really needed to do from a league perspective. And is, I don't know how long he's been there. I think I've done 3 or 4 contracts with him, and he'll probably want to work one more through one more turn of it. But he's been a great great leader for us, and he's done so much in raising the image of the league, but he cares so much about the players and their well-being. So there's been so many things implemented for the players, for, you know, all the different social things that go on. And, you know, he was here when the Graham James thing went down, and, you know, was influential in all the things that were implemented, you know, for the benefit of the players after that.
Interesting. What, you know, sometimes I think maybe there can be a perception, you know, chairman of the board or this, you're in total control and all this kind of stuff. Well, you're running a franchise and you're also devoting time to working with 21 other owners. I mean, you know, this can't be a picnic 24/7.
No.
What are some of the, without getting into details, what are some of the challenges of you know, that role? In dealing with so many different ownership groups, different markets.
I think the biggest challenge is time, because generally my mornings or the first few hours of the morning are devoted to the league.
Right.
And then switch away from that to, you know, our team and then the general operation over here. But, you know, usually the commissioner and I talk every morning, and there's a lot of things that we discuss that are very confidential just because it's got something to do with the, like, when you're as chairman, you're on the executive committee of the Canadian Hockey League, so our discussions are not necessarily about the Western Hockey League.
No,
they're about all three leagues, right, and issues going on. Something might be going on in Ontario that we need to know about and try and come up with a solution to help them sort through things, or our negotiations with the NHL or all these different things that go on, television contracts. So that takes up part of it. And then just the most important thing to me is the day-to-day operation of the teams in our league. And to me, and the one thing that I'm so proud of is that we've preserved the franchises in Swift Current, Prince Albert, Moose Jaw, Lethbridge, you know, Kamloops, when it was community owned. You know, we found a way for these teams to all have an opportunity to exist and succeed on a level playing field. And a lot of that has to do with the league office, the way it's run, the marketing side of it there has a lot of influence on everything we do. And there's, you know, national things that happen that help all the teams out.
Right.
So I think that, and then certainly I was very lucky to, when I came into the league, Tim Speltz and Kelly McCrimmon were just starting too. And those two guys probably, and Russ Farwell in Seattle had been in Medicine Hat. And then as Brent Sutter joined the group later on, and probably Kelly Kissio in Calgary, you know, there was a group of younger guys at that time, and we were all very involved. And, you know, we were kind of a group of guys that weren't just necessarily owners. And in Speltz and McCrimmon and Kissio, they didn't own their teams. At that time, Kelly had a bit of his, and now he purchased it from Bob Cornell. But it was a group of guys that was young and, you know, wanted the game to get better and were very competitive amongst ourselves. So I think that helped. And then, you know, as I moved into the role as chairman, I leaned on those guys a lot for, you know, when you're trying to get something through, it's no different than any other board you're on. You have to make sure you have things lined up, right, before you roll it out to, you know, to see what everybody thinks. And probably the biggest thing is having the trust of other teams. And, you know, it's changed so much, Glenn, today compared to 10 years ago, which is, I think, common in most business now. These teams aren't owned by groups like this, our family's group here. They're all owned by corporate companies now, just about. There's very few family operations left. So that doesn't, you know, that doesn't hurt us. I think, you know, the Teugel family in Vancouver have been wonderful people for our league. Tommy Gallardi in Kamloops, you know, I think he's brought stability to there. and you know, we'd have the Gagliardi owns the Dallas Stars, the Flames own the Hitmen in Calgary, and the Oilers own the Oil Kings in Edmonton. So we have three NHL teams represented on our board here. So those guys are critical for a bit of the vision that's going on. And we lean on them all the time. So probably the hardest time was, you know, in Portland when the there was some punishment went down there. And I think that was one of the harder times for me in the sense that you're almost perceived to be part of it, but I couldn't be part of what was going down there.
Conflict.
Because it's conflict, and I had to stay out of that. And I felt bad for the commissioner, and I felt bad for Portland because it, you know, I was the chairman, and yet you can't be caught in the middle of that at all because, you know, they were going in to investigate it, and, you know, whatever happens, happens. But I'd say that was, you know, probably stressful. But the rest, you know, I enjoy doing it or I wouldn't do it. And I've sat on a number of different boards, and this one's still very rewarding and very fulfilling. And I hope I'm respected. I'm assuming I am,
I
wouldn't be there. Yeah. But, you know, there are times when people think we get certain things because of who it is, and yet I think it's the opposite. I think we have to climb a higher ladder to get things just because it can't be perceived that it's being given to us.